shrieking air whipped past Vulcan as he plummeted through the storm-wrecked sky. He descended like a hammer-wielding comet, a roar of the fire drakes of Mount Deathfire on his lips. His salamander cloak flapped wildly behind him, as if the spirit of the beast it once belonged to had returned and approved of its master's exaltation. A grimace formed on his face behind his helmet as the Primarch reached terminal velocity. The wind became an ear-piercing whine as he descended through it. Surrounded by the tempest, he had never felt more alive than in that moment. He wondered briefly if Korax and Sanguinius felt the same elation as they soared through the heavens. As he closed on the obelisk, Vulcan clenched his hammer in both hands and lifted it above his head. At the moment of impact, he smashed the arrowed summit of the obelisk like he was hitting the head of a nail. With a tremor of energy, the psychic node ruptured and shattered. Vulcan didn't slow, but kept driving through the ancient stone, following an almighty crack that spread through the obelisk's core. Shockwaves throbbed outwards from the breaking stone, chunks of it pummeling the Eldar, who looked up at the falling rock and wailed from below before being crushed. Each successive energy pulse emitted from the destroyed obelisk jolted the now transfixed coven with greater and greater violence. The Eldar witches had made themselves conduits for the psychic power in the node, and now they were being fed every last residual trace of it. No mortal creature could withstand such a backlash of energy. Vulcan landed, and the earth blasted outwards from his craterous impact. In synchrony with it, the witches died one by one. Their eyes burned and flesh melted until at last their skulls exploded and they collapsed headless to the ground. Dust and fire surrounded the Primarch in a churning pall. He was crouched on one knee, his hammer embedded in the earth. He stayed like that for several moments. His armor rose and fell as he breathed. The remains of the node collapsed around him. Great clefts of stone sheared away and broke into fragments. By the time it was done, Vulcan was encircled by a belt of shattered rock. The engraved runes had all been broken, and their captured light bled away. Already battered by the resurgent salamanders, the Eldar capitulated and fell back. Victory cries extolling the Legion, the 5th and the 14th Fireborn, appealed to Vulcan's pride as he heard them on the breeze. Beneath the snarling visage of his drake helm, he smiled and was aware of someone approaching. Numion regarded his Primarch from the edge of the devastation. The rest of the Pyre Guard were just stepping from the Stormbird and cutting down the enemy stragglers.
"I didn't think you would jump,"
Numion confessed. Vulcan lifted his head and stood.
"It was an impulse."
The equerry appraised the circle of broken node stone.
"I also thought it would be more difficult."
Vulcan raised an eyebrow.
"You think that was easy?"
When he removed his drake helm, he was still smiling, rolling his shoulders and then stowing Thunderhead. He turned his attention to the dead psychers.
"Dabbling with sorcery has its own rewards."
Numion followed him as he walked beyond the circle and out into the emptying battlefield.
"So it would seem, my lord."
He regarded the burned and headless Eldar corpses impassively.
"Hard to tell now, but I didn't see their seer amongst the coven."
Vulcan didn't need to look. He knew.
"The female was not amongst them, which is perplexing. She has likely already fled. They must realize this is a war they cannot win." "Perhaps, but then why fight it at all?"
The Eldar were on the run again now, all attempts at a tactical withdrawal abandoned in favor of individual survival. They had nothing left to protect, and so no reason to linger in a fight for which they were unsuited. As with the previous battle in the jungle, the natives began surfacing with the cessation of hostility. They appeared moribund, even terrified by their liberators, and clung to each other for support. Some of the children amongst them were sobbing. A girl child leaned down to touch a dead Eldar's finger, until her mother chastened her and she shrank back into the gloom. Army units with attached remembrances were already gathering the refugees together.
"Do they seem less than pleased to see us, Numeon?" Falcon asked. "I find it hard to differentiate their reactions from that of any human I encounter, my lord."
Falcon sighed, unable to be completely dispassionate.
"They are scared, but of us, not of the aliens. I wonder if..."
He stopped when he saw the bodies of the tribespeople amongst the dead. Vulcan's brow creased with consternation.
"I didn't realize that civilians were at risk inside the battle zone."
Army medics and field surgeons were dragging away dead natives along with the Farians. Most were men and women, but Vulcan saw children too amongst the slain. The cold face of a girl child clutching a wooden effigy haunted the Primarch for a moment. Were it not for the dark stain colouring her hemp smock, she might have been asleep. In repose, the girl child's face looked particularly innocent. Vulcan had seen horror like this before, after the raids and when Nocturne's surface split with anger. He had witnessed bodies dragged from the rubble, choked by ash, or burned black by fire.
"A warrior chooses his path. It is violent and the threat of death ever present. But these people..."
He shook his head slowly, as if only just comprehending.
"This was not supposed to happen."
Numeon was lost for an answer. When Varun approached with a hololithic wand, the equerry's frown turned into an expression of relief.
"Word from the legions, my lord."
Still distracted, gaze lingering on the humans, Vulcan took his time to respond.
"Set it down,"
he said at length, and Varun impaled the wand into the ground and activated it. Spilling out from a triangular apex of hazy light, an image of Ferus Manus resolved itself. Both pyre guards sank to one knee immediately in deference to the other Primarch. Ferus Manus was still wearing his battle helm, and his armor bore evidence that he'd been in the thick of the fighting for the desert region. The gleaming plate was sand-scoured and reflected the light of the sun behind him. He removed his helm, and his silver eyes glittered like chips of ice. Ferus was typically taciturn.
"Are the jungles won, brother?"
Vulcan nodded.
"The Eldar node has been neutralized. An easier fight than we first believed, but with its share of blood spent to the cause. How fare my brother legions?"
The Primarch of the Iron Hands growled.
"Still contested, but I shall not be denied. We encountered difficulty with our mechanized elements. Much of my force is on foot, and the army divisions are coping poorly."
The Iron Hands' mantra, "Flesh is weak," was almost written indelibly into Ferus's scowl. He respected humans, but was also frustrated by their frailty. Vulcan decided to change tack.
"And what of the Death Guard? Has our brother lived up to his dogged nature?"
The answer came reluctantly.
"Mortarion has leveled the node, though I question what is left for humanity to colonize. I fear he has turned the ice fields into a tainted waste and damaged much of the continent's geology into the bargain."
A crackle of interference marred the image for a moment. Distant explosions rippled behind Ferus, but he paid them no heed.
"The jungle region borders the edge of the desert. I can divert some of my divisions to provide reinforcement, brother,"
offered Vulcan when the hololith was restored again. Ferus's crag-like coldness expressed exactly what he thought of that suggestion.
"Unnecessary." "Then your victory will be close at hand."
Vulcan tried not to make his tone consoling. That would only enrage his brother. The desert continent is vast, but it will yield to me.
Behind him, bolter fire chorused amongst the low crump of explosions that were growing increasingly less distant. Ferris turned his ear a fraction.
We are engaging again. Consolidate your forces in the jungle and await further orders.
The hololith blanked out with the severance of connection.
Pride, not flesh, is weak, returned Numion with a resigned shake of the head.
Vulcan's eyes were downcast, and he muttered,
You wouldn't understand.
Their father had sought to make them perfect, much more than human in every sense. Vulcan and his brothers eclipsed their legionary sons with their greater strength, skill, and intellect, but they also possessed very human flaws. To be one amongst so many sons made it difficult to attain a father's love and validation. Pride, in one form or another, drove them all in its way. It created fraternal rivalry too, and Vulcan wondered if it would ever become more than that.
Lord,
Numion's voice brought him back. Across the battlefield, a salamander was approaching. A sheathed chainsword sat on his back, and his gait betrayed some injuries. He bowed before his Primarch, having already removed his battle helm. Salamanders meet eye to eye.
Rise, salamander.
The warrior obeyed, standing and saluting against his plastron.
Captain Hecaton,
Vulcan asserted, looking down at the warrior,
of the 14th Fireborn. You are tempered, my son.
Hecaton's armor was scorched and battered from battle. He'd also lost his sidearm and was favoring his left leg. His left eye was swollen, and there were several deep gashes upon his forehead. The suggestion of an honor scar on his thick neck was visible just above the upper rim of his gorget.
The anvil was indeed testing, my lord.
He bowed his head again.
You've no need to be so humble. You are a captain, and have shed blood for your legion this day. We are victorious.
Hecaton didn't look so sure. Vulcan's eyes narrowed.
You have something to tell me, Captain Hecaton?
I do, my lord. We have found the army scouts that located the node.
Since the coordinates had been broadcast to the rest of the Imperial forces, all contact had been lost with the advance reconnaissance sections. Sensing the captain's fatalism, Vulcan became solemn.
And they are dead.
Not all of them, Primarch.
Hecaton's fiery gaze could not hide his apprehension.
There was a sole survivor, a non-combatant.
A remembrancer?
So I understand, my lord.
And is he unharmed?
It was almost as if Vulcan already knew the answer by the expression on Hecaton's face.
Miraculously so.
Vulcan broke eye contact to look into the distance where the pursuing Imperial forces were harrying the enemy deeper into the jungle. He purposely averted his gaze from the growing piles of dead natives.
Where is this survivor now?
Hecaton paused.
There is more.
Looking back down, Vulcan's blazing eyes were questioning.
He says, there is another node, much bigger and more powerful than the one you destroyed.
A muscle spasm in Vulcan's cheek gave the only hint of his displeasure.
Take me to him at once.